And welcome back. This is Chatting on Radio Hallam on 194 metres medium wave and all that lot on VHF stereo. We have as our guest today, and we're really delighted to have, Elton John. But can we get into a record you recorded in Froggy Land?
The Francais, oui, oui, oui.
Mm-hmm, as well. Honky Shat the Oaks.
Yes, a White House.
White House indeed. Of which came, or from which came, Rocket Man and also Mellow.
Mellow, yes, which has one of the nicest solos in it I've ever heard. Played by Jean-Luc Ponty. Who,
to name but three.
Jean-Luc and Ponty, yes. And Freeman Harding Willis, who did the backing vocals, you know.
Well,
by
no,
this
solicits.
Time, you see, we were a band, and Davey Johnson joined, and this is the first album that we played on, as that Dee and Nigel played on all the way through, and there was hardly any orchestration on it. It was rather nice.
You'd elbowed the strings by the stage.
Yeah, I mean, Madman was a critical album for us, because it didn't get the critical acclaim in England that the others had got, and sales-wise it didn't do as well. But in America it did tremendously well. In fact, it's still our biggest catalogue seller over there.
This was the first number one album he had, isn't it?
No, not yet. Honky Chateau.
Yeah.
Yes. I think you meant Madman. I thought, fool.
No.
Yeah, Honky
wrong.
Was the first number one album we ever had. And we were at the crossroads, really. People were really on the edge of their seat to see what we'd do after sort of Madman had met with such bad critical acclaim. So we had to go away and rethink. And Davey joined, just gave us a kick up the posterior. So it was a very happy album to do, especially going away and finding the chateau was nice too.
All right, from that album then.
She packed my bags last night, pre-flight. 0 hour, 9 a.m. And I'm gonna be high as a kite by then. I miss the earth so much, I miss my wife. It's lonely out in space on such a timeless flight.
Now.
think it's gonna be a long, long time. And I think it's gonna be a long, long time. And I think it's gonna be a long, long time. And I think it's gonna be a long, long time. I think it's gonna be a long, long time.
Teacher, I Need You, from the 1973 album Don't Shoot Me, I'm Only the Piano Player. And Elton, we've been going through your career from 1960, frozen to death, more or less right up to date. And we're not doing so bad at the moment, we're up to 1973.
And I'm still frozen to death.
Well, it's Sheffield, you see. Wasn't it Cole when you did Bailey's or whatever it was called, that club before?
Cavendish Club.
Cavendish, I'm sorry, I must get the name right. I asked you a question.
What?
Was it cold then?
Was it cold then? Ah, it was freezing. Yes, in fact, I just passed the hotel where I stayed in, and it's the Howard Hotel opposite the station.
I was going to say, it's a motorway now, is it?
And it very nearly is. I couldn't quite spot it. It's all new buildings, but it's still there on the corner.
Oh, that black and white thing?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
And I froze to death in there all over Christmas. They didn't serve lunch on Christmas Day, so we had to go up to a Chinese restaurant and have a Chinese Christmas dinner, which was wonderful. I really enjoyed that Christmas. Thank you.
Yes.
I have fond memories of Sheffield.
From that particular album came two hit singles, Daniel and Crocodile Rock, not necessarily in that order. And you've chosen neither of those to play. Are you sick to death of them, or you think they've been exploited enough, or you prefer another choice?
Well, it's always nice to play something else off the album. I think people know those. I'm quite sick to death of Crocodile Rock. Daniel I like, but I think High Flying Bird is one of the nicest songs we've written. So we'll give that a little spinneroo.
Between my reason, like a raven.
High Flying Bird from the album Don't Shoot Me, I'm Only the Piano Player.
High Flying Bird.
You were the microphone wasn't open when you were doing that. You were duetting along with yourself.
Yes.
Mm. Are those trousers normally that size?
Yes, they are.
Uh-huh.
My legs are normally this size. No, they're not.
While you were while we were listening to that particular record, we decided on a terrible thing. We're going to extend this program by yet another hour. Do you object to that?
No, but I'm sure millions of other people will. In fact, they're beginning to phone in now. Stop this piffle, I say. Well, bring back Huey Green.
I know you don't want us to play it, so we won't. Crocodile Rock. But can we play Daniel?
You can play Daniel.
All right, then we'll play Daniel.
You won't win, but you'll play him, I do.
And that's the third and final track we'll be playing from Don't Shoot Me, I'm... Well, we could play Crocodile Rock.
No, we couldn't.
Oh, wrong
no,
again.
No, we lost it. No.
Okay, talking about football then.
No, we weren't.
You want to, though.
Is this a six-minute argument? No, yeah. Well,
somebody has just been on the phone and has prompted me to ask you a question all about Watford FC.
Watford FC. Yes, very good question. And the next?
The next was, I believe you're a director of that particular outfit.
That's a direct question. And I am indeed, yes. Which gives me a lot of pleasure. The only displeasure it gives me is the fact that they don't win very often when I go and see them play. But apart from that, no, I have a great time. It's given me a lot of pleasure being with Watford Football Club. And all there is to it, really. I mean, we had a very disappointing season. Because I think a lot of people thought, well, I thought we were going to go up at the start of the season. I see, when I'm away, they always play well. When I'm back in England, they don't seem to. I haven't seen us win all season, in fact, which is a bit of a drag. But no, it's a great relaxation. It's a mind. It takes your mind off all this piffle and rubbish that you get involved with, and it brings you down to earth again. In fact, 6 yards out of the penalty area.
Football. Do you get a kick out of it?
I do get a tremendous kick out of football.
So if you hadn't been a professional pop star, you might well have been a professional
pop star.
Kicker-arounder.
No, I was too fat. I couldn't see the ball. Now, I could have made a reasonable tennis player, but no way. I used to play rugby at the school anyway. I wouldn't play soccer at the school, it was rugby. And I was never into... I mean, I come from a footballing family. My cousin was a professional footballer and won a cup final winner's medal. And I wasn't related at all to Anita Lonsborough, who won the Olympic Games for us quite some time ago. But apart from that, no, I never wanted to be a professional footballer. All I wanted to do was play the piano, and that's what I ended up doing. But if I could choose to come back in life and do anything, I'd like to be a professional sportsman, because I'm very jealous of people that can do it very well, you know.
But do you charity matches, don't you? You play football in...
Occasionally, yeah. I did one with Rod in Harlow earlier in the year. You have to be very careful which teams you play for, because some of them just want to kick you off the park. And the first match, actually, the first minute of the match that I played, my glasses smashed. And consequently, I had to play the whole game without my glasses, which I can't see a thing without my glasses. I scored a goal with my left foot, which I can't... And I played really well, so the motive is playing without his glasses. Mind you, they were all own goals, but never mind.
You don't have to have glasses to play the piano, though, do you?
Not really, no. I'm short-sighted, so I can't see things from a long way off. I don't need them to play the piano, but I got so used to them now. I didn't really need them all the time when I started to wear them, but when I first had glasses, it was the Buddy Holly era, Hank B. Marvin thing, and I thought, God, I've got a pair of black frame glasses, I look like Buddy Holly, so I kept them on all the time, whereas I only needed them for the blackboard. And my eyes got weaker, and so I need to wear them all the time. And it's, of course, been one of the highlights of my career, the glasses. Oh, what's he going to wear next?
Are you short or long-sighted?
Short-sighted. I can't. That's why I can't play golf, because people say, why don't you play golf? And I say, I can't see the flag. Well, there's no point in playing it if you can't see the flag, is there really? Okay, if you hit the ball and you can't see where it's gone, there's no point. I tried once in Scotland and lost about 16 balls by the time I got to the third hole, so... I thought of giving it up. Tennis is much better because the balls are bigger, if you express the pardon the expression. Or express the pardon.
Yes. Yeah. Get netted. Do you play tennis?
Yes.
You do? Goodly or badly?
Well, it's mediumly. Towards goodly, not badly. I played at school and I was quite good. Then I didn't play because pop stars don't play tennis. And if you're on the road... Well, you see, you find most people in pop music don't like playing sport. And so I gave up playing for about 5 or 6 years, and then took it up again last year. I went to a tennis ranch in Arizona for 2 weeks, and then met Billie Jean King, and I used to play with her a lot. I had some tuition from her and got very friendly and played with Jimmy Connors in a doubles match in LA, privately, not publicly. And I really like playing tennis, and squash I played too. Anything with rackets. My mother always said, you just make a racket. And I, in fact, do, yes.
Are there any questions that you would like me to ask you that I haven't asked you?
No.
I'm not getting rid of you yet, but, you know, you must get absolutely cheesed off with the interviews coming out. They ask you the same boring questions day in, day out, week in,
yes.
And week out as
right.
Well.
No, nobody ever asked me what my favourite food is. You read about people being asked what their favourite colour is and I never did that. That was in the days of Helen Shapiro on the day of Flight 5 when they did the NME lifelines and things. What's your favourite restaurant? What's your favourite car? And nobody ever asked me to do that. So I missed out on all that phase of publicity.
Could I ask you a rather controversial question?
Yes.
What is your favourite food?
Oh, don't ask me that. People are always asking me what's my favourite food? I'd have to say Indian food, actually.
Why do you have to say it?
Because I can't sing it. It's a talking program. No, Indian food, French food, any food really, except motorway food. Anything on the motorway, I sort of try and avoid. Elton John sued by Trust House for his Ross services.
And the Wimpies. Which brings us to Goodbye Yellow Brick Road, for no apparent reason.
The album or the song?
No, we were talking about motorways, and I thought, well, that's a link into roads, yeah, you know, motorways, yes.
Dim, dim, dim. Dum, 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 dum.
Achim. Right, a couple of tracks from there, can we have?
Well, we'll start off...
You don't want me to play Goodbye Yellow Brick Road, do you?
No, you're going to play that later on off the Greatest Hits album, aren't you?
Only because we've extended it to 3 hours.
Yes, extended it to 3 hours. You can extend it to 3 days and we can play the whole of Yellow Brick Road.
What we don't often hear on the your actual speaking and music wireless is Benny and the Jets.
No, you don't, because it was a number one single in America, but a B-side of Candle in the Wind over here, and it would be rather fun to hear it, I think.
Hey, kid, change the music, get up.
Benny and the Jets there. Goodbye, Yellow Brick Road. Time for a couple more, Elton, from that particular album. How about Funeral for a Friend?
Yeah, that's one of my favourites. It's the first track, and it's the opening of the show, too. And it's the only one that Bernie Taupin didn't really write, because it's instrumental. He just gave me a piece of paper with instrumental written on it, and I wrote Funeral for a Friend.
How long did that take to, if you'll pardon the expression, lay?
Well, it didn't take very long. Gus Dudgeon always wanted me to write an instrumental, and I just one day sat at the piano and just wrote Funeral for a Friend. It just came out. I didn't sit down and think, I must write an instrumental. It just happened. I got a sort of chord sequence and a tune going, and it just happened very quickly. That's the way I write most of the time, anyway. Very quickly. It always comes out very quickly. And we had the idea of linking it to Love Lies Bleeding, and it worked really well. So we recorded the two. It was a bit of an effort in the studio, actually, playing Funeral for a Friend going into Love Lies Bleeding, because if you made a mistake, you were really in... I'd get halfway through Funeral for a Friend and you hadn't reached Love Lies Bleeding. But we managed to get it done without an edit, which was all right. So
was that recorded in Britain, or...?
No, it was in France again, at the Honky Chateau. It was originally meant to be recorded, the album, in fact, in Jamaica. So I thought, oh, the Stones and everyone's going over to Jamaica to record, let's go there. And it was a bit of a disaster, except for the fact that we wrote all the songs in Jamaica. But the recording studio wasn't really up to scratch. But we had a good time. Had a lot of funny things happen to us there. We arrived the day after the Foreman-Frazier fight, and it was just complete chaos in Kingston. Chaos in Kingston. And it was a memorable occasion there, getting bitten by all the bugs and having the studio, we were at the staff run strike. Every time we used to go through the gates, there was a picket outside, Wilson Pickett in there, the people would put all this crushed fiberglass and blowpipes and blow it through the window, so we'd all come out in these horrible blotches. In fact, I've still got some of them, but I can't show you over here. We had amazing experiences. The piano was just unbelievable. I've never seen a piano like it.
We've got a piano over there. That's quite unbelievable.
Yes, but I mean, it hasn't got cockroaches and the like in it, I shouldn't think. But I mean, we had a lot of fun over there. But we had to come back and record the album in France. We attempted to record in Jamaica, but it just didn't work. So it was done in Francais.
Do what?
It was done in Francais.
Right. Well, can we have a quick Funeral for a Friend then?
And Love Lies Bleeding.
Indeed. And don't notice the edit, folks, because you won't. Thank you. Funeral for a Friend and...
Love Lies Bleeding.
You didn't notice the edit, folks, did you?
And you didn't notice that we'd done that already.
And now there's time for yet another track from Goodbye Yellow Brick Road, which goes by the title of Harmony.
Kempton Park.
Racing?
Racing track. Yeah, no, it's Harmony.
Harmony.
Mm.
There's no story behind it, is there?
There is, actually, yes.
Oh, boring. Very boring. Very boring, because we want to get on with the music. What's the story? Come on, quickly.
No, there isn't a story behind it.
Right, here's the music.
Hello, baby, hello. Haven't seen your face for a while. Have you quit doing time for me? Or are you still the same spoiled child? To go. Am I the only man you ever had? Or am I just the last surviving friend that you know? Harmony and me, a pretty good company. Looking for your feelings flow. You're not lucky knowing me, keeping the speed real slow. In any case, I set my own pace by stealing the show. Say hello.
Harmony from Elton John, and this is Radio Hallam. We'll be taking a short break, but we'll be back. And welcome back to the Stomping Sounds of Elton John. Are you into the stereo stuff, Elton?
Very much so, yes.
Quadrophenia?
Quadrophenia, that was an album by The Who, but quadraphonics, quadraphonic. Your next question, start off a three. Quadraphonic stuff. It's, yes, I've just got some stuff now. It's very hard. I don't know whether it's going to catch on yet.
Well, people haven't got four ears, have they? That's the main problem.
No, and also most of the records that are mixed for quadraphonic sound really are basically botch-up jobs. The record company think, well, we'll just put it out in quadraphonic and the people who buy it. You know, it's like when stereo first started, it didn't actually catch on very quickly. I think it'll do it eventually. It's just that there's so many systems. There's not one set system of quadraphonic sound. Everyone's got their own system. And I think that confuses a lot of people as well. So, but if you get a good album, Santana sounds pretty good in quad. That's about the best quad album. Or Edgar Winter's album sound good. But some albums, I mean... Like Al Green's album, I mean, it's really a bit of a confidence trick because they're only recorded on 8-track anyway, so it doesn't really hold up for quad.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're only in stereo. Caribou was done in stereo.
Caribou do you do? Yeah, it was done in stereo, and the first album we ever recorded in America at the Caribou Ranch in Colorado. A lot of C's.
Hence the title of the album. Two tracks we could play, perhaps. Bitch is Back, Don't Let the Sun Go Down, or would you prefer something else?
I'd like to hear the bitches back. So it was, one of my favourite tracks off the album, so I'd like to hear it, even though it has been a single.
Did you have anybody in mind when you wrote this?
No. No.
That's a terrible lie. You do.
No. Actually, it's about me. But I won't say that to my fans, because I might offend them. No, I think Torben wrote it. It's about me in general, or in khaki shorts. And now, the bitch is back. I think he wrote it about me in general, or in khaki shorts. And now, the bitch is back. Deja Vu by Crosby, Stills and Nash and Young will not be played on this programme, but can be heard on BBC One later on.
The part of Elton John was played by Monty
Betty
Python.
Driver.